Hi, I'm Allison Gresick, and this week I'm hosting the Hours for Art Telethon on my website. And today we're joined by Rosemary Leach. She is a visual artist in Almont, Ontario, and she's actually invited me into her studio to do this interview. And Rosemary says that painting is the balm of her soul, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this healing, art-centered life that she's created for herself. And you can find Rosemary on the web at www.rosemaryleach.com. That's L-E-A-C-H. Thanks for joining us today, Rosemary.
My pleasure.
So when we first met, it was kind of through a mutual friend, and you found out about my coaching business. And one of the first things you said was that getting into the studio is a non-issue for you. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear more about how you got to that place, because I'm sure it wasn't sort of right out of the gate that it was easy for you to sit down and start painting. So give us a bit of your story about how you came.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because it really always, for me to, you know, put pen to paper and journal has always been, like, a habit for me. That's just how I deal with things in my life. And so I've always journaled. In terms of getting to my work, the biggest obstacle for me really was, in a way, thinking that it wasn't important. And I think that there were more important. It was more important to vacuum or to bake cookies for the family or to, you know, have a real job. That was really the biggest obstacle. I really wanted to paint, I think, always. And in terms of, like, earlier in life, I mean, my mom, when we were kids, we used to have a cottage on Georgian Bay, and there was no electricity there, and so we'd spend the summers on this granite rock, and my mom would take us out to do drawings on the back of the island if we couldn't get out by boat on a rough day, you know. And art was pretty integrated into my family life as a young person, but on the other hand, it also wasn't taken seriously. It wasn't a career option. We didn't talk too much about career options because my mother was almost 2 generations older than me, so she had me when she was 40, and she had a pretty 1950s sort of sensibility. We didn't talk a lot about career options. However, it was definitely an academic family, probably more than an artistic family, and so the assumption that I would go the academic route was always there. But I think fundamentally I was really a hands-on person, and I've always been more comfortable doing hands-on stuff than anything else. So I can function fine in an academic environment, but I emotionally am not centered, and it took me a long time to figure out that that's really who I was, and that I needed that practice of, you know, either painting or writing. That was really what kept me sane. And I also, in my family, we have lots of different mental health issues, and I think as a young adult, I really thought seriously about, all right, what's it going to take for me to stay sane? And like serious mental health issues, you know, attempted suicides and serious depression and that kind of thing. So when I did the academic route and became a high school teacher, and I was so unhappy, and I knew, okay, I have to change my rhythm here, and the answer is not Prozac. So I think at that point I really, in a sense, felt I didn't have a lot of choice. I felt like I have to pursue what it is that I love, otherwise I'm going to be sick and unhappy.
Yeah. So. And was that a long process of realizing that the teaching wasn't working?
Well, incremental. I mean, definitely while I was doing my university degree, I was trying to work in as many art courses as I could, and then when I became a high school teacher, not because I was dying to become a high school teacher, but because I didn't know what else to do with my life. During that time, all I was thinking about was saving up money to go to art school, and then, you know, I went to art school, and it was always there, how am I going to spend more time doing what it is that I really love? And I think also witnessing around that age, like in my early 20s, my mom had cancer, and I think I was highly identified with my mom, and I think sort of that experience of watching her die and realizing, you know, we're here for a good time, not a long time necessarily, that I really became very committed to living the life that I wanted to live, and you know, that doing art wasn't something that I would be happy doing, you know, when I retire. That wasn't going to happen, so.
Yeah. What did the changes look like that you made around that time that you decided to make that big commitment?
Well, I guess, so when I was in my earlier 20s and teaching, every cent went aside to going to art school, and then I went to art school, and then I was always figuring out how much paid work do I need to do in order to pay for my passion. And so gradually, you know, it was kind of like I was teaching something that wasn't really art related, and then going to art school, and then teaching that was art related, and now and meanwhile having children. And so there were a lot of sort of overlapping projects there that gradually brought me to the point of weaning myself off any other activities, and I'm still parenting. So the parenting part is still very much part of my life, and actually works quite well in tandem with how I paint. I would say I'm a little bit, I say this lightly, but ADD, like I'm kind of, I like working on a lot of different things at once. So it kind of, now that the kids are 10 or 11, 12 kind of thing, it's, the interruptions are actually welcome. They're not always welcome, but it's not the same difficulties as really trying to carve out creative time in the stage of life that you're at, more where the kids are really, you know, where you're just, for me, I was just so desperate to just have a moment where I could think, even you have a few consecutive thoughts, and little people, you can't explain to them, well, actually, mommy needs to think, so.
Exactly. You know, so. Yeah. Yeah. So you're painting, like, what you would call full-time now?
I'm painting full-time now, yeah. I was working in the schools as an artist in schools type capacity, and so I did that for a few years. But over, the last year, actually, I've just been able to go, okay, I'm going to take a break from that and really throw myself into the painting, so. And realizing that the time that I was spending teaching, you know, if I was at a point where I could use that that time to promote myself, and that it would be equal. So,
tell me a bit about, you know, the way that you're working right now, the canvases you're doing, and how that kind of affects your creative process, your schedule.
Tried a lot of different, in earlier days of painting, I tried a lot of different approaches, and now I'm consistently working on a dark ground and gradually moving towards light. So I use black gesso and start from there. Thematically, the work that I do is very much, has domestic roots, so it's very, you know, dishes in the sink or boots by the front door. And as for why these are the consistent themes, it's hard for me to articulate actually why that is. It's just when I look at a blank canvas, these are the themes that come to me. And I think that a lot of the work has been about maybe trying to find home on a certain level, thinking up places where I would feel very safe, and where that space for contemplation and for being very much in the moment, that was somehow allowed. And so I think I construct scenarios that lead me to that place. So in terms of the representation, so, you know, having a chair in a corner, like the painting I'm looking at now, a chair in a corner with a pile of books, that's, I was recently in Mexico and really inspired by the kinds of intimate spaces that I found in the city that I was in, and that rather than, you know, every corner of a room being a 90-degree angle, it's, everything is, you know, sort of built around other things. And there are I mean, obviously it was really colorful and beautiful, and I loved those worn treads of stairs and just the diversity that comes with maybe a less affluent culture where it's not, everything's not from Home Depot, you know. People don't just toss things out because it's a year old, you know. So I really love the warmth of older objects and things that are sort of heavily made. You know?
Yeah. Interesting how a lot of these themes just are there. They just keep showing up for us. Yeah. But then things like traveling or being in a different space can kind of shape or influence those.
Yeah.
Those inherent.
Well, I have mixed feelings about travel because I feel, on the one hand, I feel that, you know, everyone travels too much, there's carbon footprint, that kind of thing. And on the other hand, I really feel very inspired by seeing other parts of the world and it really helps me to put into context that the choices that we make in our culture are really quite a limited set of choices, and that we think that's the only way to do things. And then, you know, for instance, being in cultures where that are indoor-outdoor cultures, that really changes the vibe, and that people are much more likely to chat with one another. And I find that my personality changes, that I'm much more likely to ask the waiter his name, or find out, you know, if I'm buying groceries from someone, I'll just kind of take the time to joke around with the person just because I'm delighted to be speaking another language, or because that sense of discovery and the now moment is really, I think, when you know it's certainly when you're initially traveling is quite high. So I love that. So.
Yeah.
And I also know that I'm not really a traveler. I really value roots as well. So as finding that balance is tricky, but I certainly benefit a lot from kind of getting out of the studio and connecting with the world in a different way. So
yeah. How long have you been in this house?
I've been in this, so we've been in the Almont area for 14 years, and we've been in this right in Almont for, I guess, the last 5 or 6 years. And it's a great community. I mean, there's a lot of freedom in terms of the kids can walk downtown and buy an ice cream and go to the library and go to their music lessons and drama and all these things, and, you know, without me driving them anywhere, it's fantastic. So yeah, certainly lots of benefits to this small town life, and I need to get out sometimes. So
yeah. I noticed that you often refer to your children as your teachers. Mm. And I'd love to hear more about that, especially as it relates to your work as an artist, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we tend to think of, you know, we think that we're supposed to, you know, fill children up with knowledge, and I do think that our innate selves have a great deal more to offer than what I can, you know, pieces of information that I can try to fill my kids with. I think that I'm the youngest of 4 kids, and when I had children, I had no concept. I barely ever babysat. I was not particularly patient. I'm actually a DES baby. So my, are you familiar with DES? So it's a drug that women were given to prevent miscarriages, and they knew this drug didn't work, and they knew it caused cancers that were reproductive related. Anyway, so although I wasn't dying to have children, I knew that I might have problems conceiving children, and I thought, well, we better get on with it. So when we had kids, I was doing it more from a head place, I think, and certainly did not think of kids in as teachers remotely. But I think that I guess the process of parenting has been an amazing process for me, because I think so much of my path is about wanting to be a more peaceful person in the world, or wanting to overcome feelings of self-consciousness, or a bunch of things that kids just already have figured out. You know, they just walk up to an easel and start painting. It doesn't even need to be an easel, right? Like, they'll walk up to a wall and, you know, that'll be fine, you know. So that creative impulse I just love, and I think that kids are much more comfortable with their feelings than adults are, and I love that, and I find that the process of parenting is just constantly, it's constantly a learning process for me. You know, how can I be more understanding, or how can I be less judgmental, and allow for kids to take their own course, you know, to rather than say, well, here, I know what's good for you and you should do what I say, allowing them to say, well, here's what I'm interested in and I'm going to pursue it. Or even what's more difficult is when they say, I don't want to pursue anything, and you have to go, okay, this is the fallow time, you know, this, I want to, you know, if they want to, I don't know, it's interesting that whole back and forth of thinking that, you know, we're supposed to guide them in a certain direction, and at the same time, really trusting that actually the kids have a pretty good sense of how to interact with the world. So.
Yeah. How do you think your kids, or how do they relate to you as an artist, or what they think about your work?
Well, it's interesting. So my partner's a writer, and when we were in the process of having kids, we were also very much in the process of, you know, we had both separately fought the inner battle of, am I going to take the conventional road, or am I going to follow my bliss? And so we were, I guess our kids have really grown up with watching us kind of go through that struggle of, okay, how, you know, are we going to, for instance, right now, like putting money into my husband writing his books, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, you just trust that this is going to work out, and that, so I guess the kids have really been witness to a lot of conversations between the two of us, and I think that, I was talking earlier about school, and I guess often when the kids have conflict in their lives, and we talk about it, and I'll say, well, you know, maybe that person, like, maybe your teacher's not very happy with their job, or maybe, you know, we try and understand why, what the possibilities might be for why people behave the way they do, and I think our bias tends to be that often people are doing things they don't want to be doing. They're doing things because someone else is expecting it, that of them, and that very often it makes people bitter. I mean, maybe that's just the lens that Jake and I carry, but a bias that we have. But I guess I feel that, I so frequently see people who are, making that choice to do what's expected of them, and there's a high cost to that, you know, rather than doing the thing that they really want to be doing. So
yeah.
So I guess in terms of the kids' worldview, I think that their world is a little bit divided. I think there's the information that they get from the rest of the world, and there's the information that they get from us. And we try not to make it too confusing for them. You know, we don't say, well, we're right and other people are wrong. We just say, okay, well, you know, here's our take on things. And, you know, no, we're not going to spend tons of money on battery-operated toys. And yes, we're saving up for a trip that's going to happen in 3 years from now, you know. So things like my son staying home today, and he's going to watch TED Talks. I don't know if you're familiar with TED Talks. And I'm like, okay, well, to me, that's a valuable use of his time to listen to a speech on leadership or innovation. And that, frankly, when I go to school with him and we, you know, I see how a lot of the day is spent just trying to kill time, and he's uninspired, and I just think, well, he might get more out of this today than he gets out of a week worth of filling, essentially what I see is filling out forms at school. So
I expect that at this point you don't have any difficulty telling people that you're an artist, saying, you know, I'm an artist. Do you remember the point at which, you know, you first sort of said those words without without trepidation or hesitation?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it has been a slow... I mean, I think one of the things that, in a way, did make things easier is that when my kids were younger, I was spending a lot of time with stay-at-home moms, and so there was less pressure, I think, to be a something. But I certainly felt that pressure that, you know, if I were hanging out with other women who were, particularly women who were professionals, I did feel shame, really, about feeling like, well, I'm not actually supporting myself, and will anything ever come of this, or am I just really a bum in disguise? Like, I didn't really have a... It was a long period of time, and I think that I would say, yeah, probably in the last 3 or 4 years that I have really felt that the world has given me sufficient feedback, you know, whether that initially was just, people recognizing my name and saying, oh, I love your work so much, or, I mean, those were early days, but I have been blessed with, relative to the amount of output that I've had really good feedback from the world. So even when I was producing, 10, 15 paintings a year, I was able to sell most of them, even though they were, little dinky venues or whatever. So I think I was really blessed that way. But I certainly, and the things that I was interested in doing seemed to touch a large, even though I wasn't reaching a very large audience percentage-wise, it seemed